Bohemia Boards and Brews is a cafe slash pub slash bar that boasts a library of some 500 board games, and it's one of a kind in the Czech capital, a trendy, well-designed venue for both gamers and non-gamers alike. Want to grab a coffee or a few beers to play a quick party game with friends? Or play an intricate war game on a lazy afternoon? This cafe in Prague's Vršovice is possibly the place for you. Since opening last July, tables at the venue are regularly booked. I spoke to owner Douglas Kaufman at BB&B this week to find out what was attracting people to modern board games, but we began by discussing how he got the idea to launch the business in the first place.
My background is in marketing, and I worked agency side for a while, and then I was doing some consulting work in 2016. And as that job was coming to an end, I was really sort of getting burnt out on everything. And it was time, I think, I wanted to try something new. And it was around then I started hearing about the board game cafes. I mean, I'd been kind of aware of them before, but like then this sort of the idea of them as a thing that, why isn't something like that in Prague, sort of popped into my head. From there, it went relatively quickly. I mean, 2016, 2017, I had the business plan. We found the space, we got staff, we got opened, starting in July. So it was about 6 months, and here it is.
You say we, so are there more of you involved or business partners? Who was involved in the actual launch? Because you're the owner, as far as I understand.
Yeah, no, I use the royal we. When I originally thought of the idea for the business, there were a few people that were kind of interested in it, but to be honest, nobody understood the concept, really, until we actually got open. There were people, you know, when I would explain, no, it's a board game cafe, people play board games, and there's food, people would be like, oh, well, you should have concerts, and you should do, like, comedy nights, and, like, nobody, and when I tried to explain, oh, no, come in and invest with me, and, like, we'll do this thing together, nobody really understood what it was, and nobody understood how it was going to make money. I think the main issue is people that don't play board games don't understand that there is a sort of a renaissance of board games right now. And they don't know that there are a lot of people that like playing board games and would be happy to find a place to come and play. So it was hard to convince sort of people not in that world to come in with me. There were a couple of people that were sort of in that world, like some board game designers, another guy that owns a board game cafe up in the UK. They were both interested, and that's why I had the business plan originally. But for whatever reason, various reasons, they both weren't able to come in. And that's when I just sort of said, look, I have the money to do it myself. I could just do it, and I'll see how it goes. It'll stand on its own 2 feet or not.
I suppose if it hadn't worked as a board game cafe, it could still be an excellent cafe venue. That's not a problem to reinvent it if it needed to be the case, but from what I've heard, this place is very, very busy. So, in fact, you tapped perfectly into a market or a need that existed here.
I think so. Board gaming sort of has its epicenter in Germany. That's where sort of everybody plays board games, and board games is a huge, huge deal. And we're one country over. There's a huge board gaming population of people. Like, people play board games here a lot. They don't necessarily, until now, have a place to go play them, except sort of in these social clubs and at home. You know, the idea of a place that A, has board games, and B, has a really nice atmosphere that you want to come out and enjoy, and C, has, you know, refreshments, food and drink, mm-hmm. as an alternative to just going to a bar or a pub or sitting at home, which is sort of the, you know, what we've been doing for the last 30, 40 years. Everybody, that's, you know, your options are kind of limited. And I think now the board game cafe really taps into this new trend of, you know, people want to go out and do something. You know, they're going to, like, escape rooms. They're going to, you know, the bowling is having a big resurgence. There's all these places that are, like, new and interesting where you don't just go and hang out, but there's actually something to do once you get there. And I think this is sort of the trend that we're riding with the board game cafes.
When I first moved here, it was all about the pub. It was about the alcohol consumption. Is anybody who lived here in the 90s will remember? Yeah. Maybe it still is. But at some point also, you kind of get tired of talking about politics and solving the world's problems over the sixth beer, et cetera, et cetera.
Especially nowadays, where the problem seems so prevalent and everybody's so polarized. Again, going back to what are the trends we're tapping into, the idea of sitting around a table and playing a game instead of arguing over politics, I think it's appealing to people.
Who is your customer? Is it primarily somebody who already is in the know, who knows games, or maybe somebody who finds out games through coming here with a friend?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. We have a lot of customers, and I like to think it breaks into three categories. You have, I think, the smallest category of customers that I think we have are real, like, gamers that come with a group. They want to play a heavy game. They want a place to do it, and they already know all the games in the library, and they bring their own game. The second two groups are relatively similar in that they're part of the same makeup. And one of them is you've got that gamer guy from the first group who has a bunch of friends that don't game. You know, I think a place like this is a great sort of neutral ground that a gamer with his non-gamer friends can say, hey, let's, instead of going to a bar tonight, let's come to this place and I'll show you a couple games. And, like, you know, we have people here that will teach the game and everything. So it's very neutral, it's very accommodating, and it's a way for the gamer to introduce games to his friends.
And that's an important aspect. Let me just jump in, because you mentioned that you have staff who teach the rules, because that's one of the number one complaints of non-gamers is, oh, yeah, I don't want to learn the rules, and
rules are the worst. I mean, it's the single biggest barrier to board games is the fact that somebody has to read a 10-page rule book. Although nowadays, you know, and again with the games that we have, the rules, there are some creative ways that people have shrunk the rules down, so it's not as bad. And like you said, we have people here. A lot of these games can be taught in 5 minutes if somebody knows the rules. That's the thing. If you read the rules, it takes, you know, a half hour to an hour to sort of sort your head through it. If somebody teaches you how to play it by showing you, it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops, and then you're already playing.
And was that obvious to you when you were already, when it was just a concept, you knew you would have to have staff specifically doing that, not just making food or providing popcorn or the other things that are done here?
Yeah, that was for sure. That was a main part of the business plan and of the vision of the space.
Let's talk a little bit about genres. You have like about 500 games here. That can be a bit daunting for the newbie. There are a lot of friendly games, I imagine, which are good for starting out. Party games. And you said also heavier games. I can't imagine playing Here I Stand in this setting, but I guess somebody might.
Yeah, it'll happen on like a Sunday when, you know, we're not that busy, but that you have all day to play, that we'll get somebody that will book a big room or one of the big tables in the back and play something big. We've got a guy, he comes about once a month, who he made his own version of the Game of Thrones game, but it's a giant version for 10 players, and they all come in, and it's like once a month on Sunday they come in, they set the whole game up, there's 10 of them, and they play from about noon until about 10 at night. It's this massive game, and by the time they're done, they all look drained. first of all, they come out like one at a time. They leave, you know, looking all dejected. But like by the end of the game, by 10 o'clock, the last few guys that are around the table look like they've actually been through Game of Thrones.
All those betrayals.
Exactly. I'm sure it wears on your soul after a while. After 9 hours.
It's a gamer's dream because, especially the older I've gotten and family and other things that you have to take care of, kind of game times are more and more rare.
You don't have 3 hours to play a game, or even sometimes an hour and a half to play a game. It's really, yeah, now that we have families, you got to really carve out that, like, you know, 2 hours a week. And then arrange with all of your friends who also have families and stuff. So it's as we get older, it's a lot harder to find time for that kind of big fun. And also as I'm getting older and my brain doesn't work as well as it used to when I was younger, you know, I'm learning to appreciate, you know, for myself and for our customers, you know, the game that's fast, it's got something clever that really brings a social element into it. You know, I love a game nowadays where, you know, you're sort of standing up at the table and throwing dice, or everybody just has that, like, ha-ha moment, like, sort of at the end. Again, I don't know if those are the games I would enjoy playing the most, if those are the only games I was playing, but I certainly appreciate them a lot more now. The group I play with, we generally play pretty heavy games. So we were playing a lot of, Phil Eklund games, which are very, very, like, super intricate. Now I don't have time to do it anymore, and now I actually kind of like the ones that I can sit down with and just play super fast.
It's true that finding a simple game, but which still has a clever rule set and a bit of depth. I mean, Rainer Kingsia would be one of the classic examples.
Totally.
In more recent games, like, I've really been enjoying King Domino with the family, for
King
instance.
King Domino is so good. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that's a game you teach it in, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's super clever. It's super fun. It's got some interesting choices and decisions. And, I can show it to a family that's never played board games. I can sit them down with it, and they're having a great time within seconds.
What kind of state was this in when you began transforming it? Was it a bar before?
No, this was this space was a business called Kralik Vradiu, which was a children's playground. And the idea was, you see, there's two rooms in the space, and we're sitting in the sort of the main room. And here they had put in a big kitchen and a bar, and parents could sort of sit out here and eat and drink wine. Or like, moms would come here with their strollers. They'd drop the kids off in the back room, which is a big playroom, and they had sort of babysitters there. And then the mom would come out here and drink wine or coffee or whatever until she wanted to pick up her kids. So everything... It was completely different. What's the word I'm looking for?
It was all pastels, I imagine, but maybe I'm wrong.
Absolutely. It was 100% pastel, like greens and blues. The floor was linoleum. The ceiling had like these white fluorescent lights. Like it was. I can show you pictures of what it looked like before. It was night and day.
Because the design of it now, you must have had an architect involved.
I had an architect. Her name was Helena Paz, and I basically gave her the how I wanted it to feel. And I showed her a couple of pictures, like a mood board. And, you know, my basic idea was, look, I need a place that if you're standing outside in December and it's snowing and you look in the window, that's where you want to be. Yeah, so very warm, very cozy, very, very inviting. And she did an amazing job sort of fulfilling that vision.